Mental Health Insights. So today, you're in for a treat. We're going to talk a little bit about how physical touch and the importance that is in developing healthy relationships, especially with your children. So parents as children. And today, I have a fellow therapist here in the St. Louis area that's going to share with us about how important this is. So Sarah, can you say hi?
Yes, hello. Thank you so much for having me on today.
So before we get too far into this, Sarah, can you just talk to us a little bit about your experience in this area? Because this is something that's important to you and it's near and dear to your heart. And can you share a little bit with us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm really passionate about this. I've been working with children and families for over 15 years. I've worked in a lot of different settings, like early childhood centers, public and private schools, shelters, psychiatric hospitals, and now in clinical therapy. So one of the things that through all of that work has really stood out to me is how important those healthy attachments are for children's mental health and how much that impacts children into adulthood. Right. And throughout their lives. So that's why I, as a therapist, really like to work on those relationships and helping children with that.
Well, and I think that's so important. And we did an episode way back on attachment. So if you're hearing us say that and you're like, hey, well, what's that about? I would recommend you go listening to that episode. But I wonder, for you, even just us here right now, if we're kind of talking about attachment, what's maybe a sentence or two that you may be able to share with people that are listening to this, just to kind of help them get the gist of what we're talking about?
Yeah, so healthy attachment is the way that children feel connected to their caregivers. So one of the ways that we really think about it is how they're able to be soothed from a caregiver if they tend to go towards that caregiver and are able to really receive that nurturing and affection from the caregiver, or if they tend to turn away because of some disruptions in the relationship, or if even when they do go to that caregiver, it's difficult for them to really accept that soothing. So so that's a little bit about it. We could go on forever, but.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's so important. Attachment is how we relate to and connect to other people, and it develops in childhood, but it carries with us implications for the rest of our lives. And I love that, for you, as a therapist that's interested in this, the reason is that, for us, and I know, maybe even for you, going through our education, right, this is something that they touch upon, and how difficult it is for therapists, because in the room, we're supposed to be really careful about how we use physical touch and kind of different implications around that. And you're talking about using touch in a very safe and a very meaningful way. So I'm wondering for you, can you talk to us just a little bit about whenever you start to incorporate that into treatment or whenever you incorporate that into your sessions with people, what that looks like?
Yeah. So when I'm using touch in a session, it's really, me helping the caregiver, parent, and the child in a session. So it's really just, me and a child in a session with that touch, right? And if so, that would just be great high fives, a pat on the shoulder, those types of things. But incorporating the caregiver in, I utilize a lot of the attachment-based interventions like first play and TheraPlay. And then I also do some attachment-based interventions through Sientre as well. So that's really helping the caregiver, finding some activities and leading them through some activities that are allowing the caregiver to give that child some of that nurturing touch, through just really fun activities.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, let's say that I'm a parent and I'm listening to this and I'm how would I know if I am giving enough nurturing touch, enough physical touch or anything? How would I know if this is something that maybe my child needs a little more, or I need to look at this or approach this a little differently?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important, right, to really kind of take a minute and reflect on like how we as parents are like providing that nurturing touch to our children. You know, I think one way that you would notice it is if there are some behavioral issues coming up, right? When I see behavioral issues, it's really a clue that there's a lack of connection somewhere, and that needs to be built back up.
Right.
Another way is if, you know, when you're trying to help calm down your child, it takes a long time for them to calm down, right? And I think, you know, everybody can incorporate more nurturing touch into their parenting, right? If you think about how often we like even just touch our phones compared to how often we, right, give our children a hug or high five or just a pat on the back, it's, right, it's a big difference.
Right. Well, and I think about this. So at the time that we're recording this right now, I have a son that's 2.5 years old, and the amount of time that he wants to have a hug or like hold my hand or be like right next to me or anything like that, it's quite a bit. And like for someone like me who like if you're a, you know, if you're a Gary Chapman fan, the five languages, love languages, I'm a physical touch person. So like, that's fine for me, but I know that that might be a challenge for other parents. So let's say that like someone's listening to this or like, oh man, like maybe I don't really, you know, maybe I don't really do that a lot with my child, or like I only hug them a couple times a day, or like hugging is the only type of activity we do, or anything like that. What's some things that they can do, or maybe like easy activities that they can do to try to incorporate that more?
Yeah, I think that it makes it way easier if we think about it as incorporating that throughout the day, because we're naturally, right, doing caretaking activities for our kids. And I think it depends on the age, right? But for the younger ones, and even for like the teenagers, we're still like helping them with things throughout the day. And so I think, you know, thinking about even just waking them up in the morning, right? Like, do you go in and say like, okay, time to get up? Or can you go in and give their back a little rub, right? Or like, you know, just pet their hair for a second, or like give their hand a squeeze. Or just, you know, piggyback rides to getting to breakfast. Even when they're, you know, helping them brush their teeth or maybe getting ready throughout the day, just, you know, a little pat on the back. And I also think that, you know, there are times, you know, like on the weekends and we have a little more downtime, just finding ways to play games and incorporate some of that in a more playful way, right? Like just, you know, with the young kids, like tossing them up and, you know, and playing like that. I think like the little tickle fights, right? Just any way to really get that close nurturing touch with children. And I think that if we look at our daily lives, like there are so many ways that we can just reach out and give that in little ways. And that really adds up.
Well, I think that there's something so important to this too, because little kids are pretty good, excuse me, about reading the nervous systems of their parents. However, like as they get older and even whenever they become like a teenager or anything like that, things start to get more difficult. And this is well researched that like teenagers just cannot read adult faces for the life of them, which is just a weird thing to consider. But what I'm hearing you say is like, if I am incorporating more and more like of this physical, this nurturing touch throughout the day, then I'm giving my child an opportunity to understand a little more about where I'm at emotionally with them. I mean, I can imagine that if I have a teenager and I'm putting my hand on their shoulder and I'm patting them or I'm rubbing their back, they're getting a pretty clear signal in that moment that, you know, I like them. I want to be around them, that, that I'm calm. Right. But if I have my hand on them and they might even be able to feel like whenever I'm not so happy or anything like that. And I think that is important to help them see that and experience that in a different way, because sometimes it might be hard for them to tell, right? Especially if we're having a bad day and we're trying to put on a good face about like how things are or anything like that.
Yeah. No, and absolutely, right? Like kids, teens are so good at reading like what's actually going on. And we can say like, I love you, I care about you. But right, like you're saying, like that touch and the way that we actually physically show them shows so much more. And like, that's how they take it in. There's some really cool science behind it too. There's something called like these C tactile fibers, and they're just on the hairy parts of our skin, but it actually shows up like whenever you're touched there, right? Like it shows up in that emotional connected part of our brains. Like, and I just think that's really neat, right? That like our brains can really tell when we're getting that nurturing touch. And there's also like oxytocin, serotonin, right? Increased with that, and a decrease in cortisol. So there's all sorts of like wonderful things that are happening in the brain with that touch.
Well, like if someone's listening to this and they're like, okay, oxytocin, serotonin, cortisol, like, well, what does all this have to do with anything? Well, like cortisol is something that spikes whenever we feel stress, and it's associated with all kinds of things. Usually not so great things, is what cortisol is related to. But talking about like the oxytocin, that's like bonding, right? If I am giving more and more opportunity for oxytocin exposure whenever I'm doing this physical nurturing touch, then it's going to be easier for my child, like whenever they're upset or whenever things are going really bad, it's going to be easier for them to kind of lean on me whenever they need that emotional support and to use me to do what we call co-regulating, which just means that they can kind of quote unquote borrow our nervous system for a moment to help them regulate whenever things are really intense for them. And then serotonin, of course, we've talked about before, is kind of like more of a stabilizing neurochemical that does a lot of good things for us. So being able to have like even you kind of talking a little bit about the science of this, it does a lot of really cool things for us, and being able to incorporate this. So like, what if I'm a parent, maybe that kind of falls on a different end of the spectrum for me, that has a little bit harder time with physical touch, or maybe for me, physical touch hasn't always been a great experience in my life. You know, what then?
Yeah, no, and I think that's so important to recognize, right? And I think I would say, I recommend just about all parents getting into therapy, because I think it's so beneficial for parents to really, you know, do a deep dive into what's going on for themselves. And one of the best things we can do for our children is take care of our own mental health.
Right.
And I think part of that is acknowledging when that physical touch is difficult for us. And I think that, right, if we're approaching it like kind of stressed out and like, oh, I'm gonna just, you know, touch you, but I don't feel comfortable with it, like that's, they're getting that stress, like you're saying, right? Like they're getting that message for sure.
Right. Well, and I think too, like there are activities, and kind of like you're alluding to earlier, there are activities that maybe can make it a little bit easier for us. And I kind of think of this exercise that like I've done before with different people, whether or not it's in my family or even like this exercise with my wife, right? Where you hug someone and they're initially like kind of tense, but as long as you hug them longer, right? Like 30 seconds, a minute, and you kind of feel their body start to soften after a little bit. Like, so for us being really intentional about like how this touch is, and like if it is hard for us, maybe sometimes that means that we just have to try to give it a little more time. Now we've been talking about nurturing touch, which I think is really important. I think that something that comes along well with nurturing touch is we know what good touch feels like, and it makes it a lot easier for us to recognize what not good touch feels like, right? What kind of like more harmful touch is like. So I wonder, can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you're totally right. I mean, whenever we know what the positive affectionate touch is and what that feels like, we are more likely to identify when a touch doesn't feel good. And all humans are wired for connection and wired for touch. You know, so I think that, right, like if there is touch that doesn't feel good, like if that's like a spanking or harmful touches, right? Like that's still touch. And so, right, like we need to make sure that we're like filling our kids' like emotional buckets with that nurturing touch. I think it also helps, right, when parents are really in tune with their kids, and if they're seeing that their kid like is shying away from a hug or like holding their hand and that doesn't feel good, then parents like acknowledging that for the kid, and that can help children like learn about consent and like what that means from a really early age before consent is even a word that's brought up.
Well, I think that that's important too, right? Because even if, like you said, even if they don't know the word consent, but a child may have an idea of what like involuntary touch or anything like that looks like, right? If my son is going sprinting off through the store and I physically pick them up and, you know, that is involuntary for them. They do not want to be picked up in that moment. They want to sprint off during the store. And like for us being able to balance out that type of touch with, you know, more affectionate types of touch, but it like helps them recognize this. And I think this is super important for like whenever we get older, because if we've been exposed to this whenever we're younger, then we have a lot better idea of what this other type of touch is that is maybe not so pleasant, whether or not we're in a relationship and there's harmful touch going on in that, or we're around friends or like family. It makes it easier for us to get a read on a situation and to know like if we feel safe or not.
Absolutely. I mean, I really think it helps build our brain to know what to expect and know what feels good. I think it goes back to that attachment too, right? When children grow up with a healthy attachment and those healthy relationships with their caregivers, like from the early times, they are more likely to have healthy relationships like later in life.
Right. So I'm wondering, so give me an idea, how much touch should we be incorporating throughout the day? Like if there's is there like a time limit I should be kind of shooting for, or like a certain number that I should be aiming for? Like if I'm a parent that's listening to this, what should kind of be my goal?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know that there is like a specific goal, right, in terms of like a number or like quota to hit, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think if we are incorporating it throughout the day, then that's what's really important, right? So we don't want to just like go and touch just to touch our child, like, oh, this is going to give them good like hormones in their brain and this is going to lead to all this resiliency, right? It does, like you had alluded to before, with like the very intentionality of it. Like it really is so much more about the quality versus the quantity, right? So if we're spending more of that quality time with our kids, like playing a game that incorporates touch, like even like the slapjack, right? Like it's silly, but it still incorporates touch. Or like with some kids like painting nails, like things like that. That is quality time that's spent together. And I think that means so much more than just how much, but it also should, right, be incorporated throughout the day if we can.
Like, I just think about this and I think there's really easy ways to do that. I think it's easier with little kids, right? Like, you know, I help my son wash his hands, or preparing for dinner or something like that. Or if he's just comes in from outside, those are like easy opportunities. Or like if I'm like, you know, after a bath or something like that, if I'm like putting lotion on him, because his face gets really chapped all the time. So being able to like take that opportunity to do the, you know, those types of things in those moments, I think it's really easy whenever they're younger. And they're older, I feel like that's something that gets a little bit tougher to kind of know, all right, what is it that I can do that could be okay?
Right. No, I definitely think that it gets harder the older they get, right? Because with those infants, you just wrap them up and they're held most of the day or a lot of the day, right? And as they get older, they do get further away and become closer with their peers. And it still remains so important for them, right? And I think that, you know, parents, caregivers just have to be a little more intentional and a little more strategic and creative with how they get those that nurturing touch in there. But I do think that, you know, from the teenagers that I've seen in therapy, like, they are still really craving that attention and that affection from parents, right? And I think it's common for them to be like, I don't want a hug, while also like leaning in for a hug, right? I think reading some of those nonverbal cues can be helpful too, instead of just, right, just listening to.
Well, I think so too. Like, sometimes we get hugs and those are kind of like easy things to do. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about trying to get more exposure, I think the creative part is something that, like, we as parents is something to more heavily lean on, right? Yeah. Like, you know, get some lotion and give your kid a foot massage or something.
Yeah.
Or let them, like, you know, you guys can trade off foot massages or like a simple hand massage. It's an easy way to have safe touch. And also you have the opportunity of doing something that is really connecting in a way, because it's not like you're doing a lot whenever you're giving a foot massage or a hand massage, like, right, you have an opportunity really to connect there. And I know that's a little bit strange in Western culture to kind of think of it like that. But that's a big deal, being able to do that. And I know that it's hard because, like I said, again, in Western culture, whenever your kids get older, it's weird to, it's seen as weird to, like, hold their hands, or if you physical touch too long is seen weird, or if you're too into physical touch, you know, people might wonder, like, well, what is your relationship like with your kid? Are you doing anything with them? Is this inappropriate or anything like that? When really, whenever we're being intentional about this, I'm just sitting here thinking about this right now, just with my experience working with teens, is that helping your kids understand safe and appropriate touch is one of the things that's going to keep them out of dangerous situations. It's one of the things that's going to be able to help them recognize less savory types of characters using touch in a very abusive way. And so, like, part of our responsibility as parents is to try to be really creative, or to try to push back against some of those social norms that kind of keep us away from our kids.
Right. No, absolutely. And I do think, like you're saying, with the social norms, like, we do just kind of think, like, I think there's this whole kind of myth around teens just wanting to be away from their parents, right, and not wanting to be there. Right. Like, when we know that they do want that connection, and, like, absolutely getting, like, super creative with it and finding some other way, you know, besides, like, okay, now is nurturing touch time. Right. And, like, getting creative with that, like, you know, with, like, helping with the hair care with teens. Right. Like, you know, if it's boys, like, right, cutting, helping, like, cut their hair, or, right, like, just do their hair. And with the girls, like, brushing their hair, braiding it, and, right, like, the painting their nails and the massaging, right, the feet. I think all of those are really great ways to get that nurturing touch in.
Right, right. Well, and so one of the things that I do is I work with a lot of couples too. And it's interesting because there's so often where I see physical touch in sessions, especially whenever someone's going through something that's difficult. And I think that sometimes that's easier to forget too whenever people get older, just how soothing physical touch can be to help comfort someone whenever we're going through something tough.
Yeah. I think especially in COVID times, right? You know, we're kind of, I guess, on the end times of, you know, of the pandemic, but it's been a really difficult time, like, having to stay 6 feet away from people, right? You know, and I've seen some of the studies about, like, that has encouraged even, like, married people to stay further apart, right? Like, we're just not getting as much of that connection as we're really meant to as humans. And right, it's part of just something that we're needing throughout the lifespan. I think it's really interesting, like, touch is the first sense we get and the last sense that we lose. So even in utero, we have this sense of touch with us. Like, as you know, you see moms like touching their pregnant bellies and rubbing their bellies, right, and talking to them, and like in utero, right, babies can feel that. And it's also, you know, in later, right, in those later years, the very last sense that we lose. We just think about, you know, kind of my grandma in a nursing home right now, and just, I don't think that it is something that is incorporated in a lot of healthcare systems, like that need for touch. And, you know, just a lot of our grandparents, right, are kind of lacking in that as well.
Right. Well, and I am even just thinking on a personal sense that whenever my grandma was going through, I guess in a sense it was hospice, where she is staying at home, I can remember how often like my dad would talk about just like rubbing her feet, just sitting and rubbing her feet, because this was like one of the things she could feel, or just rubbing her back. And that's interesting. I never knew that about touch being one of the last senses that we have. It makes good sense though. Like you're saying that, I mean, our largest organ is our skin, and our skin responds. You said like, especially like where the hair is, it responds a lot to physical touch. And it sounds like this could possibly be one of the most neglected senses that we have.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think it's neglected, and especially in the healthcare system with thinking about the physical health. And it really does have so much to do with how our immune systems operate, right? Like when we get more physical touch and more nurturance, like our immune systems are better. We're more resilient to stressful situations when they come up. We're, you know, children are less likely to have like childhood illnesses and have those somatic symptoms of anxiety when they're getting that. I mean, there's absolutely, I totally agree that it is one of those things that is neglected right now.
Right. Man, could you think of a profession where someone goes in and just provides that physical touch whenever you're in a hospital? Whether or not it's holding your hand or having their, you know, their hand on the forearm, your shoulder, or anything like that, just to have something.
Right. I mean, you know, think of like NICU babies, and there's been more research recently about, you know, throughout the years, just about how much like that physical touch helps the NICU babies. They have like higher immune systems, more weight gain. They have a lot, the timing in the NICU is a lot less when they have that physical touch. You know, so it really does like affect our, like how we are physically.
Right. Well, and that totally makes good sense if it's one of the first things. Well, what you're saying earlier, right, is that with physical touch comes increased levels of oxytocin, so bonding with those that are holding you, increased levels of serotonin to help you level out your mood, and decreased levels of cortisol. So if cortisol is, which is a popular marker that we use to measure stress levels, if cortisol is one of the things that we know goes up whenever someone's more stressed, then it makes good sense that anything that we can do to help lower that is going to create better outcomes no matter what, right? We're going to have better immune response. Our body's going to conserve energy more efficiently. We are going to be less reactive to different things. And since our body isn't contending with our stress response and that they are operating under the restrictions of our stress response, it's a lot more free to operate how it's supposed to and doing good things. Which is a very cool type of connection. And I think it's something that's important for all of us, is that if you're really anxious and you're really stressed, one of our natural inclinations might actually be to pull away physically from people, while at the same time, that could actually be one of the bad things to do.
Right. And I think that goes back to a little bit of that attachment as well. I think that, you know, when we've had secure attachments and we continue to have the secure attachments and that is like healthy throughout our adulthood, right? If something like that happens, we're actually more likely to turn towards someone and turn like turn inwards, like and get and be able to get that connection with other people. And something you were saying about the behaviors and the cortisol, I love this quote from Pam Leo, and I think it really just speaks to like that intentionality with the touch and our time. She said, either we spend time meeting children's emotional needs by filling their cup with love, or we spend time dealing with the behaviors caused from unmet needs. Either way, we spend the time. And I think, right, like that's such a beautiful quote, because it really does speak to how we need to give our children our time. And if we don't, then like there will be behaviors that come out because they're going to act in ways that show us that they're needing more care.
Right. That makes so much sense. And, and not only that, I think that we as parents, or we as people, it's sometimes our natural inclination to pull away from someone, even if it's a child that is having these adverse behaviors. And that inclination that we have to pull away, while that could be just reflective of our own attachment, is actually something that could continue to propel that behavior.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I mean, the majority of the reason that kids get referred to me is because of behavioral issues, right? And the more that I get into the behavioral issues, the more it's apparent that they're lacking some connection, right? And that can either be because of early childhood trauma, right? I work with a lot of foster and adopted children, or it can just be that, you know, there's some stressed out parents, and we live in a stressful world, and you know, I get it. I'm, you know, can be definitely be a stressed out parent too, and but that, you know, our children are a reflection of that. So I think that, right, like they're showing us with their behaviors what they're needing.
Right. And sometimes whenever they're acting out the most, that's whenever they might actually need us to be the closest to them.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that there's definitely ways that we can use affection when we're disciplining, right? Like, and, you know, and that can be just, right, like sitting with them and, like gently explaining what's going on, right? Because if we're saying, okay, go to your room, time out, right? Like they're obviously not learning anything from that time alone. They're just sitting and dealing with their emotions by themselves, right? When really they do need that co-regulation from their adult caregiver to download that calm from the, you know, from their caregiver's nervous system. I think that, right, when we do bring in that affection and that nurturing with disciplining, they're so much more likely to really listen and be able to learn from that and want to do better next time.
Right. That totally makes good sense. You know, I wonder, Sarah, we're talking about this for a little bit, and I'm wondering if maybe there's a part of this physical touch piece, this nurturing touch, that we haven't talked about yet that you feel like is maybe important for us to mention.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to mention that I understand a lot of parents are just like touched out, right? Especially, you know, some parents who have been home like this whole pandemic and caring for their children, you know, this whole time, they're like, I'm never not being touched. Like, how do I really need to touch my child anymore? And I think that intentionality is the piece behind that. And there's a few things I want to say about that. Like, I think that, you know, if we think about touched out parents, just, you know, having like little toddler hands all over them all the time and always needing something, really this is about like us giving that nurturing touch to our children. So they are receiving that instead of like giving the touch, because that really changes the way that like their brains interpret it. I also think it's important for, you know, these parents who are stressed out and, you know, with toddlers all over them all the time, to get a break, right? Like, I know that's so much easier said than done, but I do think it's important. And if they can find ways for themselves to get that nurturing touch too, right? Either through a massage or pedicure, even, you know, just a hug from a friend or a partner, I think that's really important. And then on the opposite spectrum of that is this like touch starvation, right? From, from maybe some single people who've been living through the pandemic and weren't allowed to be anywhere close to anyone within 6 feet for, months and months. They can, it really does affect the way that our brains work. It affects our immune system, right. Our resiliency to the stresses we talked about. I think that, now as we're thankfully kind of coming towards the end of this pandemic, we're able to connect and engage more with others.
Right. Well, and rewinding back to something you said just a little bit ago, I think that something has been so profound for me and just recognizing this with my own child. If he is coming up and he is touching me all the time, right? Grappling on my leg and trying to walk around with me, poking me or anything like that. Sometimes if I actually stop and I initiate a physical touch, whether or not that's like a hug or hold hands or anything like that, or I like to this is something that I like to do, or like I'll cup his face in my hand or anything like that, just rub his cheek, like for those types of things, if I actually take a moment out and I do that and I make sure that I do that every once in a while, he doesn't do that behavior as much. He doesn't come up and poke me as much, because like for him, he's just trying to get my attention. And guess what? Like if I give him my attention, then he's good. Right. And like, my son will go off and he'll play for 20 minutes or whatever, and I can go and do whatever. But if I am, like you said, kind of starving him with that physical touch, he's going to let me know. Cause he's going to be running around. Yeah. He's going to be running around my legs. He's going to be like asking to be held. Those are really common things. And if I'm not doing that, if I'm denying that, well, he's just going to try harder, right, to be able to do that. And yeah, it's really easy if we keep saying no, 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 no. And like sometimes like we do need to say no. But at the same time, a lot of times there's reasons that your child is trying to do that and trying to get your attention. It's something that they really need. And if you can take a moment to actually give them whatever it is that they need, especially in that sense, then you might get your break that you're actually looking for.
Yes, absolutely. Right. Like either way, we spend the time and we can spend a whole lot less time like trying to figure out those difficult behaviors, or we can spend that time being super intentional with a touch, like you're saying. We absolutely agree. There's a few resources I would point parents to if they're thinking like, maybe even just giving the nurture and touch, and there's been trauma around touch, or they're thinking that they would like some more support in this area. For the younger kiddos, I would really recommend infant massage. There's some mind-blowing studies around how infant massage can be so beneficial for all young children, especially babies like with colic and our childhood illnesses. Just really a wonderful way. And so if you look up infant massage in St. Louis, there's a good website where you can find an infant massage therapist near your area. I would also recommend for some older kiddos, like toddlers and then the early childhood and even into the teen years, finding a therapist that that does have some training like in attachment and trauma, and that uses an evidence-based practice like within their work. So things like TheraPlay, right? And I think the TheraPlay and First Play type activities are going to be more of the ones that are going to work from like a bottom-up perspective of, right, of healing some of that early childhood trauma.
Yeah, so when we talk about bottom-up, we mean interacting with the body to help change the way that the brain responds, rather than trying to talk to someone about how they think and then that thinking changing or altering, changing how the body responds.
Yeah.
A lot easier with most of us to do the bottom up, right? Start with the body, and that creates transformation in the brain.
Yeah, absolutely. And a few books I want to recommend too is The Connected Child by Karen Purvis. And she wrote it specifically for children with behavioral issues and that were adopted or in foster care. But I think that really it is helpful for all children. I mean, I found it helpful even, you know, for my kids. And it's just a really easy read. It's something you can easily pick up and just read a short chapter in. Also, Raising a Secure Child, Kent Hoffman has some really great resources too for working with children. And then The Power of Showing Up by Dan Siegel and Tina Payne Bryson is also another wonderful book I recommend.
Right. Those are some good resources. And I wonder, Sarah, if someone's listening to this and they're like, wow, like Sarah sounds like someone that, you know, either have some questions for, or maybe even someone that I want to get more information on or reach out to. Sarah, what's the best way of people kind of reaching you or finding out more about you?
Yeah, I would definitely encourage them to reach out to either talk about therapy services or just get more information, or if just they want to talk about this, because I really do love talking about it. So feel free at playfullyattached@gmail. And then I'm also on Instagram at playfully_attached as well. So those are two resources they can reach out.
Perfect. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us the importance of this. I think that I know hopefully like for those of us that are listening or those of you that are listening, I know that for me, just kind of thinking about this as a parent, I do want to be intentional about this. So I'm glad that you brought it to the forefront of my mind so that it's something I can try to be a little more intentional and a little more conscious about. And thank you all for listening to this episode. Until next time, I wish you guys well.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. The music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.